of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We greet you tonight in the name of the Lord, and we're happy to be here. I'd like to, while you're still standing, I'd like to read the scripture in Galatians chapter 4. Maybe I'm jumping ahead here. So I just sent that off, and so I don't know if the brother has received it yet, but we're in the church. I'm reading it out of the Church Ages book. This is on page 153, paragraph 1. And Brother Random starts, this is his, how he's starting. He says, "Now comes our triumphal capstone on the baptism of the Holy Ghost." And he goes to Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." That's what he redeemed us for, so that we would receive the adoption of sons. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." And then an heir. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you for another opportunity to come together, to fellowship, to worship you. Lord, that you might feed our hearts, our souls, Lord. Speak to us, guide us. Lord, let the Holy Spirit, the teacher, Lord, come and do the work that you promised to do, Father. And Lord, that you have been doing, that you have vindicated over and over in your body, the body of your bride, Lord, around the world. Lord, you're the one. It's revelation by grace. It's your mercy and grace upon us, Lord. We thank you and praise you. May you just have your way now. In the furtherance of this service, we thank you for the songs, the worship, the praise, the glory. Lord, we thank you for your word and for revelation. May you have your way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. We greet you so much. Amen. How we're happy to be here, and we just thank God for this great hour that we're living in. And I was listening to a preacher, and he preachers are supposed to be reminding us of stuff and encouraging us and stuff. And he was telling us that we have something the rest of the world don't have. Amen. And that we could name off a lot of things, but one of those things is happiness. Mm-hmm. We're happy because Christ is living in us. We can be happy in the trial. We can be happy in sickness. We can be happy in trouble. We can be happy in whatever state. Paul said, "I'm content in whatever state I find myself in." And so that's the bride. That's the elect of God. That's that genuine seed. They find themselves satisfied with the portion that God has given them, no matter what is going on around them. They still have the ability to praise him and to glorify his lovely name. So let me continue reading here. Once again, this is in the Church Ages book, and Brother Branham is saying here, there it is. Now, remember, the scripture said there, that they were sons. Because you were sons, has he sent forth his Spirit. Because you were sons. And now you went from being a servant to being a son. Oh, I did.
I got 6:28 here.
Oh. I'm so sorry. We're going to take 1 minute here and see if we can correct that. And mine says 7:2. So maybe it just hasn't come.
Well, mine says 7:2, but when I open it up, it's opening up a 6:28 file.
Oh. Okay. That's a problem. Brother Goomba, would you just testify for 1 minute? Would you just say something? Tell us what God has did for you today.
Amen.
All right, we're gonna do this again. I'm gonna get it. I remember one time we was visiting a church and the pastor, right before he was fixing to preach, he had to go to the bathroom, and he said, "Will somebody stand up and testify?" And so he told somebody to do it, and they didn't have nothing to say, so I stood up. I just took it upon myself. I stood up and began to testify. He had to come back and shut me up. All right. So I'm sinning the same. I guess maybe what I should be doing is opening it to make sure it's the right. So you're saying inside it says 6. Okay. No, rather the one I sent, it's 7:2, part 17.
The one you sent, it says 7:2. This is what pulls
up. The Spirit has come. Yep, that is last time. So this is what I just sent. So you can check your mail and see. So I don't know why it's doing that.
I can tell it's different already.
Did I get it?
I think so.
Sorry? That's it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Now mine's gone. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. So, because you are sons, he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Amen. Now you're no more a servant, but you are placed as a son. So there it is. Jesus Christ came forth, died upon the cross, and accomplished redemption, restoring to original owner by means of purchase. What did he do? He restored to original owner by means of purchase or paying the price. And therefore, thereby, placed us as sons. That was the promise. That was the purchase, what the purchase was all about. To place us as sons. So, what he's going to tell us is it still not there? You're okay? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sure I had something to do with that. Somewhere. So, all right. Let's get this. Satan don't like this. You don't like it. Because you're not becoming a son. You're not becoming a daughter of God. You are. You are a son and daughter of God. What they lost was their position. And what we lost was the revelation of who we really are. And that's why when he comes to sons and daughters of God. That's who he's coming to. That's who the Spirit comes to. That's who the teacher comes to. And that's what he's doing, is making you recognize that you are already a son of God. You're already a daughter of God. You already are a part of him before the foundation of the world. So this goes right back to those eternal thoughts. And this is, it's another one of those avenues that's bringing you back to the same place. Exactly. See? And thereby placed us as sons. He did not make us sons, for we were already his sons. Amen. And so there's the scripture, every seed will bring forth of its kind. You can't make it bring anything else but that predestinated seed. And so that seed he put there, it was predestinated before the foundation of the world, and it was a part of him before the foundation of the world. That's those eternal thoughts. See, he did not make us sons, for we were already his sons, but he placed us as son. For as long as we were in the world, in the flesh, we could not be recognized as his sons. He was going to have to reveal that to us. And he was going to do it by the Spirit. And the Spirit was going to lead us and guide us in all truth. And all of the truth is revealing who you are, revealing who he is. If he's revealing who he is, then he's revealing who you are because you're part of him. So if he's revealing to you who you are, he's revealing who he is. Because it's the same thing. You can't get away from it. And that's more clear in this age than it has ever been in any day at any time. So, we could not be recognized as his sons. We were held captive by the devil, but we were sons nonetheless. See, and hear this. Because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby you cry, Father, Father. On whom did the Spirit fall at Pentecost? Sons. Huh? Galatians, sons. Pentecost, sons. At Corinth, upon sons, while they heard the word. It fell, the word fell on sons. And they recognized then who they were. They recognized then who he is. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It is the Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. It is the new birth. Huh? What is it? It is the new birth.
Amen.
And the revelation came that it's not two different things, that it is one coming of the Spirit. Just one. It is the new birth. It is the Spirit of God coming in and filling you after you have repented, having heard his word, and been baptized in water as an answer of good conscience toward God. So a son of God can go a long time before he recognizes that he is a son. Is that right?
Amen.
Can go a long time. You can go a long ways. You can set and hear it. But until he reveals it, until the revelation breaks, until the Spirit comes upon that seed, it's not going to become reality. God has to do it. In fact, a lot of true Christians are like the story of the baby eagle that was hatched out under the hen. Now, I didn't read this on Sunday. This is where we stopped at right here. And I just thought I'm going to leave it in there because there's a couple points he makes that goes right with this thought on the sons. You know that the eagle is a type of the true believer. Well, a farmer took an egg from an eagle's nest and he placed it under a hen. And in due time, all the eggs under the hen hatched out. And so you come just like Christ did in the fullness of time. You didn't come early, you didn't come late, but as God ordained you, predestinated you, the day and the hour that seed in you was going to be quickened, he came right down and he quickened it. And you recognized who you were. The baby chicks got along fine with the mother hen, but the little eagle could not figure out the clucking and the scratching for food in the manure pile. He managed to make a living, but he was pretty confused about it all.
Right.
And there's something about a child of God. They're not satisfied with those forms and those creeds and those traditions and all that the churches have to offer. They're not satisfied with it. There's somewhere it doesn't hit the spot. There's something about truth, there's something about reality of God that it takes for the elect to get there.
Yes, sir.
See, he managed to make a living, but he was pretty confused about it all. But one day, from way up in the air, the mother eagle that had laid the egg spied that little eagle on the ground.
Yes.
And she swooped down with tremendous speed and screamed at the top of her voice for him to fly up to meet her. Now, when the time came, when the fullness of time came, and it was time to quicken that seed, then it was, now it's high speed. Now God is on the scene, and God's going to get you. And now you're pushed this way, that way, whatever way. Everything now is pushing you to Him. No matter what, everything is pushing you, drawing you to Him. That's the way He moves. And he went once, and let me read. And he screamed at the top of her voice for him to fly up to meet her. See, once that scream comes, God doesn't leave it lay. God continues to scream, to draw you into His presence. He had never heard an eagle cry. See, think about that. We had never heard. We never heard something real like this message. We never heard something, the things that we heard. I remember one of the first things I heard, or not too far from the first thing. The first thing was a prophet, and that was a new thing. That was unusual for this day and age. This is, and we're talking, 40 years ago. This, for somebody who didn't even go to church, just saying there's a prophet here today, that a prophet has come and a prophet has brought a message, then that was pretty far out there. That was pretty far out there. And Sister Juanita sitting here, Sister Rita sitting here was some of the first ones there in Chiefland, because Brother Tiny was there. He was a minister. And so it was, we were oddballs. We were oddballs. And I drove by when we were down there just recently, and that building's gone. Somebody's living there now. But people looked at that old building. It was just an old frame building, just rough lumber. It was rough. It was rough. And even when we started inside, there was no insulation, no drywall, we could have been in Africa, brother. We could have just been in Africa. It was just old, rough, shack-looking building. We wasn't there for that. We wasn't there for that. We were there because we heard something, and it had been quickened. We heard that scream. And we heard that scream, we couldn't get away from it because it sounded right. It sounded familiar. And for some reason, all of the clucking didn't sound right. The clucking didn't click. It didn't do it. But when he heard the first scream, something in him stirred. And he longed to launch out toward it. And that was us. There was some fear there. There was some not sure. There was fear of the unknown. What this really is. What's this all about? Is this really true? Huh? But there was also something there that thought, this is it. There was something saying, this is it. This is it. This is the truth. This is God. God has done something in this day. But he was afraid to try. And we were. I was. Yep. But when we look in the scripture, so were they. So were they. God called Moses to go down and take over a nation. Not a nation, the greatest nation in the world at that time.
Yes, sir.
What did he fear? Huh? Did he fear? He feared. He said, I'm not able. He said, I don't even know. I can't even talk. I don't have good speech. I don't have the education. I don't know what to do. I can't do it. Huh? But there was something else down in there too. There was something else stirring up, because that scream of that eagle stirred something down in there that thought, the impossible can be done here. The impossible. This flesh was scared. This flesh was unsure. This mind was like, I can't do it. Not me. Let somebody do it. But God called him. And so that thing was stirring down in there. It was stirring. What about Jeremiah? We read where he talked about, I'm a child. I can't do it. I'm just a child. Another one said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I can't do this. Huh? Yes, there was fear of the unknown. But that seed down in there, that scream that he heard, something was pulling. Something wouldn't let him go. And did he go? He went. Every one of them went. Did you go? Yes, you did. You continue to follow that scream. Praise God. Again, that mother screamed for him to arise in the wind and follow her. And he screamed back that he was afraid. Once more she called out, screaming that he try. Beating his wings, he hurled himself into the air. And answering the cry of his mother, he soared off into the blue skies. You see, he always was an eagle.
Amen. That's right.
God didn't, Dad, Mama Eagle didn't fly over and make him an eagle. He always was an eagle. And that's the point he's making. You always was a son. You don't become a son and daughter of God. You always was a son and daughter of God.
That's right.
That's real. That's revelation.
Amen.
And that separates some of these man-made ideas we got today. Some of this theology and some of this intellect and some of this other stuff that's going around. That separates it right there.
Amen.
Every seed brings forth of its kind.
Right.
That's right. You didn't, not you, God don't come on the scene and then you change from a pig to a sheep.
That's right.
No, you don't change from a chicken to an eagle.
Amen.
You was always an eagle. You was always a son and daughter of God.
Yes, sir.
And it was just waiting for you to be able to recognize it. That's all. It was just because of the fall, it was your eyes. It was holding to you. But when the time came, when the fullness of time came, he came down and he screamed.
Amen.
And you recognized it. And you thought, how could it be? How could it be? And you still think, now, how could it be that a God could send a prophet? That God not just sent a prophet, but God come himself. And incarnated himself after that seven angel finished his message, that God incarnated himself in that veil of flesh and he began to speak forth those mysteries, those seven thunder mysteries.
That's right.
How could that be done and the world just miss it totally? How, if the church world, not the world, but there's I just wonder what's more, the church world or the unbelievers.
Amen.
That's heard the thing.
Yes.
That's actually heard it.
Yeah.
So many of the church world, they don't even care. They don't even want it.
That's right.
But there's only a little group.
Amen.
That he spoke to individually, privately, to you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You see, he always was an eagle. He acted like a chicken for a little while. But he could not be satisfied. No, he never was satisfied there. Brother Branham said there was something down in a believer that you always knew you were different. You always knew that there was something about this life and this society and about the culture and the country and all of the ideas of the people and all the sin and everything else that you were living in. There was something in you crying out that it wasn't right, that it wasn't for you, that you were different from that.
Amen.
You couldn't explain it. You couldn't put your finger on it. You were going right along in sin just like the rest of them, but something wasn't right. You knew it wasn't right. Brother Rand said it was always there.
Amen.
He acted like a chicken for a little while, but could not be satisfied. But when he heard the call of that great eagle, he come to his own place. And once a true son of God hears the cry of the Spirit by the Word, he too will recognize who he is and run to the great prophet eagle. Praise God. And be with him forever seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's right. You didn't come into this. You didn't receive the Spirit. You didn't receive the revelation. And then next week go out, do something else, then come back, then go out, then come back, then go out, then come back. No, you don't. I'm not saying you can't backslide. You can. But when that seed's quickened, then God is bringing you. I'm not saying you can't struggle. You can struggle. Yeah. You can be afraid. You can have all kinds. You can have all hell against you. But Satan cannot overcome. Because he cannot overcome God, and that's who is in you. That's who you are. You cannot doubt. You cannot doubt this revelation. You cannot doubt the voice of God in this last day. You cannot doubt that God, who that messenger is. What we have just set forth would be much easier for all to understand if all believed the doctrine of the oneness of the Godhead. For there are not three persons in that Godhead, but one. Thus we are not born again by the Spirit of life of Jesus coming in, and then subsequent to that, the Holy Spirit coming in to give us power. If that were true, why are we dishonoring the Father by not giving Him a part in our complete salvation? For if salvation is of the Lord, and there are three Lords, then He, the Father, must have something to do also. See? But surely it can be seen that Jesus made this very clear, that it was He and He alone who is God, and it is He and He alone who is coming into the believer. Amen. That's it. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come. In John 14:16 says that the Father will send another comforter. In verse 17 it says that He, Jesus, dwelleth with them and should be in them later. In verse 18 He says He will come to them. There's just enough to make it sound another way. Just enough to throw people off. He's got to reveal it to you in order for you to see it clearly. Amen. Verse 18, He says He will come to them. And in verse 23, in speaking to the disciples, He said, we, Father and Son, will come unto Him. Thus, it is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, all coming in at the one time. For it is one person comprising the Godhead. That advent took place at Pentecost. There aren't two comings of the Spirit, just one. There's not two comings. There's not three comings. There's just one. And when He comes, He does it. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ in you. The trouble is that people don't know the real truth. And they simply believe in Jesus for remission of sins, but never go on to receive the Spirit. And now, we're not preaching the church age message. We're not trying to get anybody back there. But we are identifying that you always was a child of God. Yes. You don't become a child of God. Now, before I close this subject, I know there's a question in your minds. You'll want to know if I believe in the doctrine of preexistence. You'll want to know if I believe in the doctrine of preexistence. And the prophet says, I don't believe in that Mormon doctrine. In that Mormon doctrine of the preexistence of souls any more than I believe in reincarnation or the transmigration of souls. Be careful here and see this. Now, he's gonna make a strong statement. It is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the Word or the seed. That is it. Amen. And way back there, too far back for the human mind to grasp, the eternal God with eternal thoughts, He thought and decreed. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And he keeps bringing us back. This is probably the third time we read this scripture. He keeps bringing us back to it. And He's telling us. Now, we were going down the road the other day with Brother, yesterday, not so far away was it, Brother Bosworth, And he just kind of out of the blue, he says, was Adam eternal? And I said, oh yeah, he was. But it depends on what you're talking about. The flesh was created. The spirit was created. But Adam was eternal. Adam was the son of God.
That's right.
That's right. And I asked him the same question. And he had the same answer.
Amen.
Yeah. This is a creation of God. Adam's flesh was created. Adam's spirit was created. But the living God was in Adam.
Amen.
And he placed him here. And he was in the image of God. He was so much in the image of God that he could not be deceived.
That's right.
And that's why when that seed of God is birthed in you, this puts you in the same exact position.
Amen.
You recognize that you are a son and daughter of God. And you recognize that Satan cannot deceive you. He can't.
Amen. That's right.
That's worth reminding ourselves.
Amen.
Every day.
Yes, sir.
That's worth reminding ourselves.
Amen.
That you cannot be deceived.
Amen.
No matter what Satan has, no matter what Satan does, no matter how many angels of light he raises up with different doctrines and different ideas, he cannot deceive you.
Amen.
Can't do it. It's come back. What Adam lost has come back.
Yes, sir.
The same revelation. We know we're sons and daughters of God. And we know we have dominion.
Amen.
And we know that we can't be deceived. We know it.
That's right.
No matter how many mistakes I make.
That's right.
No matter. It's a revelation. The revelation came back in this day that you can't die. Brother Gumbo was talking about it recently. That you cannot die. Huh? That came back because Adam had the same revelation.
Amen.
He couldn't die. He had eternal life.
Yes, sir.
He knew he was selling out the human race. He knew that he was giving it up in the flesh.
Yep.
But he couldn't die because he was a son of the living God. What did Brother Branham say? The reason why that God didn't kill Sarah when she laughed and called God a liar? What was the reason? Said because he could not go over Abraham.
That's right.
Because Abraham was a part of him. Abraham was a son of God.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely a son of God.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, that gives, those eternal thoughts gives an eternal quality to the bride.
Yes, that's right.
There's something there, there's some part of God there. As Adam could not let his bride go, Christ cannot let his bride go. God cannot let his bride go.
Amen.
He can't do it. If that seed is in there, then God will not let anything take it away from him. It don't matter how bad you fall. It don't matter how much you stumble. It don't matter what mistakes you make. God is not going to lose you. You will always be a son of God. You always was a son of God. See, it was the thought. And then that thought became expressed. And God brought back Jacob because Jacob alone was seed. Jacob alone had the seed. And that is why he had respect to the birthright and the covenant of God. That's the difference. That's the reason why a boy that was not the firstborn and didn't deserve the birthright, he got it because the seed was in there.
Yes, sir.
He got it because that seed was quickened and he wanted nothing more than to have that relationship with God. And Esau didn't care about it.
Right.
It wasn't a big deal to Esau. But it was to Jacob. And the reason why is the seed of God was in him.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
His very name meant deceiver. Mm-hmm. Jacob means deceiver.
Yeah.
And that's what he was, a deceiver.
Right.
And he deceived and deceived and deceived. And God blessed him. Because he was the seed. God blessed him. His father-in-law cheated him. And God blessed him and blessed him and blessed him.
Yes, sir.
There was a little bit of deception there. But who gave him the dream about the ring-shanked cattle? Or the goats? He's seen both, the cattle and the goats. And one was affecting the other one. God gave him the dream. He was a seed. Jacob alone had the seed. And that's why he had respect to the birthright and the covenant. The birthright and the covenant of God. And if you are true seed, you will hear that word, and the Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ. You can't do anything else. You can't get away from it. You don't want to get away from it.
Amen.
Once you hear it, once that eaglet heard that scream, that's what he wanted. And no matter how much fear there was there, no matter how much doubt there was, no matter how much uncertainty, how much of the unknown was there, there's something there that it sounded right. He knew that was it.
Amen.
And he knew that's what he had been feeling. And he knew that when he was talking, it wasn't coming out as a cluck.
Yep.
It was coming out more of a scream.
Yes, sir.
And he hadn't refined it because he never heard Mama do it. But now that he heard Mama do it, now it began to really be real.
Amen.
And that's the same thing. Something I was listening to today, the preacher was talking about the people. Now, all of this social media that we have now, and everybody wants to be an influencer because they're making money. And some of these women are making thousands, tens of thousands of dollars a month. And they call that an influencer. But anything that you're watching and listening to is influencing you. It's an influence. And anything you're doing, it's an influence. And so he brought the example that if you've been listening to this message, and there's plenty of people now that have, he said, for the last 30 years, okay? Some of you, maybe 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is. He said, if you've been listening to this message for the last 10 or 20 years, you know what happens? It influences you. And you begin to talk like it. And you begin to think like it. Now, if you spend all your time on those TikToks and all the other stuff, I don't even know what they all do. They got Snapchat and they got a bunch of stuff out there. Everybody wants to have one because what is it? It's money. It's money, 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 money. And I'm seeing that the preaching on the YouTube, they're sticking these commercials to it. And it can be something that you're totally against. And they'll put it on there and then it don't go off. Like if you just set your phone over there and you have it, you're listening to it. I can be driving along, listening to a message. And all of a sudden, they're talking about some nonsense. And it's not going to play out and stop. It's going to keep talking until you pick up the phone and shut them off. And get back to the message where you were at. And they'll just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. It's an influence. And you, it don't take a rocket scientist to know. Where you spend your time, you spend more time on that. You spend more time on TikTok than you do on the message. Then you know what you're doing to yourself. You know what you're doing to yourself. You're making the choice. There's your free will. There's your free moral agency. You're making the choice. You say, well, if I'm a seed, yeah, but you're exactly right. But you can be sure you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. Because God's going to get you back.
Yes, sir.
You just keep going and watch what it does to you. It's going to
destroy you.
It will destroy you. And the thing is, when the word's telling you to let it go, when the word's trying to deliver it from you, if that seed's there, you're going to come away.
Yes, sir.
You're going to... You're going to spend more time in this revelation than you do on your TikTok. You're going to spend more time on this revelation than you do on your YouTube. And your,
that's right.
I don't even know all the names of this stuff. I don't even know all the names. I can't figure out, because we got family that sends us pictures, and I don't know why they send it there. Why don't they just send it to us? I guess, is that because it goes out to everybody? Does it go to everybody? If you send out on Snapchat, does it go to everybody? Pretty much? Okay. So that must be why they do it. They must want the whole world to see it. And I'd rather have a family group, make a WhatsApp group or something, have for your family, and send your pictures there, and all your family can see it. Mm-hmm. Sounds wonderful. Yeah. I don't see the need for somebody out there who I don't even know.
Yeah.
And what's more insane is, when you send it out there, and then people see it, and then you get mad because they comment. They comment and say, just like we were talking about the guy who tells his boss he's sick and he goes fishing, and then he posts on the Snapchat that he's fishing. There's something wrong. There's absolutely something wrong. And then you hear people, and you know, I've heard this. Even in my younger days, before being a Christian, when I was young, I lived just a few hundred yards from the beach. And so as a kid, we just walked down to the ocean and we could swim, do whatever. And it's when the women were really becoming, dressing like, and I don't want to use the words, but these two-piece bathing suits is no difference than their underclothes.
That's right.
Now, so if you've seen them in their underclothes, they would get all upset and get all wacky and you're a pervert, you're this.
Yep.
But when they're out there in this, and you change the name of it now, and it's a bathing suit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now they're showing off their body, and you're not seeing any more than if you were seeing them in their underclothes.
That's right.
Yeah. But in their minds, they're thinking, no, this is different than that. There's no difference.
Amen.
You're showing the same thing.
Yep.
They're insane.
That's right. Amen.
See, baptizing you, the Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ, filling you and empowering you, and you will receive the word for your day. And aid, see? See how clear the true evidence becomes when the word is revealed to you? Again, note, Jesus was the royal seed, and he lived in a human body. And when the Spirit called to him, the Word manifested thought. When he called to him, see, he went to Jordan and was there baptized in water. Huh? When the Word manifested thought moved him, he acted upon it. And so do you. You act upon it. It for the day and the age.
Yes, sir.
What they had at Pentecost was not the same thing they had during the Dark Ages.
Amen.
Huh? Not even in Luther's age and Wesley's age.
Yep.
Brother Branham said they were still baptizing in a Trinitarian doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when he comes to the end of the seventh church age, then there was nothing you can do. Redemption was finished. The work of redemption was finished.
Yes.
And now he reveals to you that you always was a son and a daughter of God. That there was nothing you can do, that you didn't get saved on any day. He revealed to you that all of that was coming up, types and shadows, different things. But now we come to this age, to this hour. There's nothing for you to type and to shadow. There's nothing now but for the reality. For you to step into the reality. For you to step into the presence of God. For you to step into what God is promised to manifest. The word manifested thought for this hour, this day, this time. You are that. And it's not what they were. No. It's greater light. It's greater revelation than what they were. He went to Jordan, see, and was there baptized in water upon obeying the word, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the voice said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear you him." Now the prophet's going to bring something to our attention because Satan's trying to pervert the idea. See, the voice did not say that this has become my Son. It didn't become his Son. He always was his Son.
Yes, sir.
He was the eternal thought, attribute of God. And now it become manifested. And now he's expressing the word for his day.
Amen.
Jesus was the Son. And the Holy Ghost positioned him as that Son before them all.
Yes.
Same thing. That adoption. He was positioning him. He was identifying him. That this is my Son. Hear him. Now, his time has come. The fullness of time has come. Now he's coming to manifestation. Listen to what he's got to say. The Holy Ghost positioned him as that Son before them all. Then having been filled, see, thus, and the same pattern holds at Pentecost and ever after. He went in demonstrated power, receiving the full revelation of God from God, for that day. Receiving the full revelation of God and from God for that day.
Amen.
Amen. And in every age, it's the same. This is in the message. Christ is identified the same in all generations. 1964. Paragraph 69. Now we find out to get the real expression of him. In John, the first chapter, see, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now in the beginning, that's when time started. When eternity broke down into time. And now after a while, time comes back into eternity. Of course, time is eternity too, but time is an allotted space. And that's the way, see? Only thing we know is inches and yards and miles and figures and so forth. See, of measuring something, but you can't measure eternity because it doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an ending. So it's just on and on and on. But that's nothing to God. We don't have no time. See, he's always. And you find sometimes when you're talking to somebody from another country and I don't know whose idea it is to do Celsius and do Fahrenheit and do inches and do centimeters and why they had to make it different. I mean, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? And to be honest with you, if you look closely at both of them, they were better off the way it was, honestly. The Fahrenheit is freezing is 32 degrees. So you would say that's zero. Well, 31 degrees is not minus one because it's not whole numbers. It's not whole numbers. So it's percentages. So, but if you're dealing with Celsius, then it's zero is zero. One's one. Ten's ten. And minus one is minus one. It's 1 degree below zero. But Fahrenheit's not that way. And everything, you look at centimeters, same thing. Everything's based on 10. It's based on 10. It doesn't make sense. So when you're talking to somebody in another country, you say, man, it's 100 degrees here. They don't have a clue. They you talk to them, they say, oh, it's 38 degrees here. You're like, 38 degrees, what is that? You know, but that's 100. 38 there is 100 here. So it'd be a whole lot easier. Just leave it alone. But whatever, whoever. That's okay. We put up with that. It's like we put up with daylight savings times. Yeah. It never made sense to me. Matter of fact, it's embarrassing telling people in another country that the time changes, and they're like, what? Your time changes? How does it change? Say, well, twice a year they move the clock this way or that way. And they like, really? It's like, let's change the subject. Yeah. Yeah, they actually change the subject. And then I say, well, and they say, why? Why do they do that? And I say, well, we're not really sure. But the rumor is that years ago that our congressman was, when they finished their sessions and they got done every day, there wasn't enough daylight for them to go play golf. So they moved the clock. They made us, all of us, move our clocks back so there would be more daylight at the end of their day so they could go play golf when they got done making laws like, let's change the time. You know what the beauty is? You know what the beauty is? You can't, well, they think they're doing it, but for the elect, let's just say from the elect's view, they cannot do that to the Word of God.
Amen.
Yeah, they can do it in their church, this church, that church, whatever, wherever, but they can't do that to us, okay? We'll put up with what the congressmen do and what the president does, what everybody else, we'll put up with that. But when you come here, we're not going to put up with it.
Amen.
No, you start messing with this, and that's what I was trying to say a while ago. When you listen to this message for your 10 or 20 or 30 years, you begin to think just like he thinks.
Yes.
And that prophet was thinking like God thinks, because that was God in him that was moving him to say what he said. And you become that. You're influenced by that. And you begin to spend your time there. And you begin to, when you look at something, you begin to think about it.
Yeah.
I can remember when one time, the first time I read the story, Brother Branham talking about the man, I don't know if he was German, he was some other country or something. And they came to him, this jelly company came to him and said, we want to put your daughter's picture on our jam, on our jellies.
Nope.
And when I was a kid, I thought, you know, boy, wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that, think of the money you're going to make. You know, think it's going to be, everybody's going to see me. Everybody's going, I'm going to get paid for this. Da, 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 da. This man said, sir, that's an insult to me. And look at your, all of your junk out there. Look at all your social media now.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not even ashamed. They don't wear their clothes. They don't care what they say. They say things that you wouldn't even say. In private. You wouldn't even say it in private. As Brother Branham said in his day, you wouldn't even wear what they wear in your bedroom in privacy. That's how bad it is.
Amen.
And you couldn't talk like they talk. 71. He's eternal. And he's the only source of eternal life there is in God our Father. He's eternal himself, see? And now therefore, if we have eternal life, we have part of God in us. God in us, see? If he isn't, then that's the only way you could have eternal life. It isn't something that was manufactured. It isn't something that's made up. It isn't something created. See, those things throw Satan off. When you start talking about, now you're a new creation, and Brother Branham is saying, see, it's not the old creation made over. It's a new creation. And they say, oh, see there? See, this is created now. This is, God's just making it. Oh, no, he's not. That don't line up. That don't line up with the eternal thoughts of God.
Amen.
So if you are an eternal thought of God, then this creation he's talking about, this is a new birth that's taking place that's making God in human flesh. That is God manifesting himself in human flesh. And that's the reason that he said that Jesus Christ was the first of this new creation.
Yes.
He was the first of this new creation. And what was he? Huh? God and man becoming one.
Amen.
That's what he was.
Amen.
Just God and man. He was the expression of God.
Yep.
And that's what you are when you're born again. That's the only way we can have eternal life. It isn't something that's manufactured, then given to you by some creed, or you lived into it, or you grew into a better man or a better woman. No. No, there's people doing that. There's churches that are helping people, that help them to live a better life. There's churches that are, they're even this Alcoholics Anonymous. They help people get off of some of that stuff. I'm happy for them. And if you can get them off of it, the drugs, I've seen people, I know people, many people that have gone through those things. And then, and it's a struggle and it's a hard place to be in. And but it helps people. But the deliverance is in this revelation.
That's right.
That's where deliverance is. Yeah. That can help them. But what that teaches them, the ones I've talked to, and I've had some people close to me that have had to go into that. And then I knew many more. And what they teach them is the first thing they have to do is to admit it. And then they have to confess it. So any time they talk to anybody and somebody offers to do this or do that, they say, no, I am an alcoholic. That I don't want to be there.
Amen.
I don't want nobody to be there. What you want is to be delivered from that.
That's right.
And what they are teaching them, because that's the mindset they have to be in, that they're always recovering, that they'll always be that they can never... They say those programs, and it doesn't matter if it's pills or if it's marijuana or it's alcohol. What it is, there's heroin. When I was young, it was those kind of drugs and stuff was there. It was all around me, and so those people, they called it an addiction. So you always are that. That's what they teach you. You always are that, and so you confess it, and then you always go to your support group. You always stay around people to help you keep from it. But when you come to God,
that's right.
He's able to deliver you.
Amen.
He's able to take the desire away.
Yes.
He's the only one. Yes. They can't do it. They can help you. And I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that they can. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that churches help people. Nominal churches. They get people sometime off the street. They get them to quit some of their drugs and stuff. If they're not addicted, they help them get out of that lifestyle. They help them come to God and turn their life around. They do.
Yes, sir.
It makes a higher moral standing in the world.
Yes, sir.
If you had a choice to be a nominal believer or to be a drunkard and a drinker and a partier, I would rather see a bunch of nominal Christians. That's right. But the ultimate is if there was a seed,
that's right.
Then it's going to manifest Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And that in no matter what road you went down, prostitute, alcohol, drugs, anything, God takes the desire away.
Amen.
He takes the desire away.
Amen.
Just try Him. See, it's God Himself in you, just like you're a part of your Father here on earth. You're a part of your Heavenly Father. And what you are, you're the attribute of His thoughts of you before the foundation of the world. Huh? Can we read that again? And what you are, you're the attribute of His thoughts of you. See? Before the foundation of the world. You're expressed. See? He had to breed it in. Everything. Huh? He took this one and that one, put them together. This one and that one, put them together. This one and that one. Until he got just the right sound. That was going to produce you.
Amen.
See? He had to breed it in and everything to get what you are and to make you what you are. Then when he was completed, see? And so many people, he goes off here. But this, we'll close with this. We'll close right here. So many people ride life's road looking through a rear view mirror. Especially, and I don't mean to say this to hurt feelings, but many of our women, they're always, when past about 30 years old, they want to go back. And they want to be young girl again and get 50 and still want the same thing. And, you know, not only that, but men too. It's the truth. It's the truth. You're always thinking back. Oh, if I could just do this and be pretty. I could do this and be strong. I could do this and go there. You're looking in the rearview mirror. Get yourself in the present. Get yourself in the revelation. And get where God's put you. Right now. I've seen it. I've seen grown women try to dress like girls, little girls. And it just, it don't even look right. But anybody who looks through a rear view mirror is going to wreck. See, you're going to have a crash. You just can't keep looking behind you. See, you can't drive the road through looking through the rearview mirror. And I believe what Paul said, forgetting those things that are in the past, I press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ. See, don't look what you were. Look what you're going to be. Amen.
That's right.
I'm finding myself there. I'm finding myself there. I remember we had an old brother one time, about 80 years old, and he was having some health issues, and he kept talking about it. Said, I got to get this fixed. I'm waiting on the Lord to heal me for this. Said, I started talking about how his wife's in a nursing home. She's about to die. He's almost to die, and he's talking about both of them getting healed and her getting out of the nursing home, and he's got a motor home and they're going to travel around the country. And I thought, well, I said, that's okay. That's okay. It's not impossible. God could do it. But he's not realizing his age. He's not realizing her age. He's looking back to where they were 20 years ago and wishing it could be like that. We're past some of that. It's not there no more. So we want to be in the present, and we want to be in the presence of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Be what we are. You know, we talk about that. Some people are comfortable in their own skin. They're okay. You watch some people, they can laugh at themselves. They can joke about themselves. Other people can't. You can't joke with them at all. You can't. You say anything about them. They're hurt. And so you respect that. You respect that. But we should be what God made us. And don't try to be something else.
Right.
Just be what God made us to be and be comfortable right there. Amen. Amen. Let us stand together. Praise be to God. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come and thanking you, praising you, Lord, for what you've given us in this age. We thank you, Lord, to recognize that every seed will bring forth of its kind. Lord, to recognize that we don't become a son of God, Lord, but we always was a son of God. That we don't get saved on any certain day, but we always was saved, Lord, because we were that eternal thought, that attribute that was in you. And Lord, we thank you for revelation. We thank you for this great hour, Lord, when you have opened up, Lord, the great fountain, Lord, to recognize who we are, to who you are, Lord, to recognize that oneness, to recognize that harmony, Lord, that you have united yourself, and Lord, that it is the living God that's in the bride, that's manifesting. Lord, let that quicken to every heart. Let that become more real every day, Lord. Let it become more real, more real, and more real. Lord, that Satan would have no place to cause doubt, no place to make us, get us down, Lord. But Lord, let us stay right there in that power and that boldness, recognizing, knowing who we are, and testifying to it. We thank you and we praise you. We ask. Oh, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise be to God. Amen. We're going to ask Brother Michael to come.
I sold that building.
I'm sorry?
I sold the building.
You sold
it? I sold it.
Oh, is that right? Oh, I forgot about that, because, yeah, there was the title there. How about that?
Jim Tate asked me to.
Yeah. All right. I had forgot what happened, actually, because we were already here.
Amen. I know you enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We're going to sing Manifest in Time.
Amen.
If I can find it. I think we have it in here. Page 536. That's what he wants us to do. That's why he come. To manifest. He didn't come to be an idol set somewhere and to be dormant.
Right.
He came to live a life.
Amen.
His life. Nature out here right now, them chickens probably would have been in danger because that eagle would have probably killed them. But because he was an eagle, he recognized something and it began to manifest a life in him. And no doubt when she said, jump. You got to get up a little bit higher. No doubt he probably jumped and all the chickens started laughing and said, what are you doing? You was raised here with us. You've been messing around in the manure just like us. You sound sort of like us, not quite. You're a little unique, but you know, we're okay. We'll take whoever wants to come. But he's like, no, something began to manifest in him.
Amen.
And so he jumped. They laughed. He probably fell 100 times. I don't know. That's such a good story. Now you can apply that story to just about everything.
Uh-huh.
Everything.
Brother Brandon said one time, he said, the first time you might have made it to the fence post.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right. But the goal was the heavens.
Amen.
And today, the goal has been met. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Today. Right now.
Amen.
You're not looking for that. That is a fact right now.
Amen.
Lord bless you.
Amen.
You're dismissed.
Amen.